What's the matter?
Motion sickness.
Huh? Much. We were asked to put our luggage outside the room. So I know about a few devotees have meant to put the luggage outside. They should be here soon.
So they have to put the luggage outside. That doesn't mean that they have to be outside.
That was from 7:15 to 7:30.
Okay. And what did you all do about your luggage?
Left it outside.
Left it outside. Yeah, right. You leave it outside. They'll take that. Because you put the sticker.
Yes.
Bharasrishta, how are you doing? You're missing this morning.
Not good. I think I took a tablet in the afternoon and I
felt yeah. Like they're tempting me also to take tablet, but I
when the whole room is rattling.
You don't know what's it like in mine. Like Damodar Prasad was fine. Then he came to my room for about 20 minutes. And he told me that he was feeling so sick. And he's still lying in bed. He said he told me that when he gets up, he feels like vomiting. Anyway, let's dive into Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, we discussed about Krishna having his dinner. Okay, but before that, Gop Kumar arrived in Vrindavan and how Krishna greeted him. And then Krishna took him with him when other cowherd boys, they just were standing outside when Krishna entered into the house. Krishna stood in the porch while he was going. He just stood there and he waved at the boys, and the boys waved at him, and then the cowherd boys didn't move, Krishna didn't move, both of them were transfixed in their position. And they stood there like that. And then Mother Jashoda insisted Krishna that he comes in because his father is waiting. And so some of the boys went back to their house, and some of the boys didn't even go back. They just sat, laid down under a tree and spend the night there. And many of the animals also, they just came with Krishna, and they also just, when Krishna went in, they just laid down under a tree. So this is how Krishna came to his house. And then we discussed that Mother Jashoda and Mother Rohini took Krishna to take bath. And the gopis, they under various, all the gopis, young cowherd girls also came. Some of them explained or gave the reason why they came. Some didn't even bother to give any reason why. Actually, they all came because Krishna came back and they just were naturally attracted. And some wanted to justify giving some other reason. Oh, my mother sent me this thing for Krishna, or so and so forth. And then Krishna actually wanted to be alone with the gopis. So Krishna told Mother Yashoda and Rohini, I'm feeling very hungry, please go and cook, prepare the food for me. And then they also told Balaram that you take your bath, told the gopis, you bathe Balaram first, and then he'll have to go and bring his father. So gopis then quickly bathed, and Balaram, and then Balaram left to get his father. So do you all remember?
Yes.
Isn't it beautiful? Yes. And then Krishna, what did the gopis were? They first brushed the dust from Krishna's body, and then they massaged Krishna's, they were smearing Krishna's body with oil. And when they were putting Krishna on Krishna's body, then Krishna playfully made a sound, oh, as if he got hurt. And Mother Yashoda came running and chastised the gopi. What are you doing? Like, you're hurting him. Like, apply the oil to him in his body carefully. And this is how they bathed. And they were taking a lot of time. So Mother Yashoda also came out and said, why you all are taking so long? You are taking so long. Quickly you do it, you. And then Krishna sat down with Nanda Maharaj. Balaram, Krishna sat on the left hand side. Balaram sat on the right hand side of Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna made Gop Kumar sit in front of them. So this is how we see how specially Krishna treated Gopakumar. And doesn't that remind you of one episode, one happening in Bible? When one son who left the father, he came back, the father was treating him very nicely. So other sons started to tell, he left home and he went away, and you are treating him with such care. And what did the father say? Because he came back, I have to treat him. You all are with me, so you all are there. But he left. That is the episode of the prodigal son. So, anyway, so then they were eating. Mother Yashoda and Rohini, Mother Rohini cooked so many different preps, and that was served in golden bowls studded with brilliant precious gems, different items. And then the gopis also brought different things that they brought from their home. So Krishna was relishing them and Krishna was admiring them. Oh, nice. Everything is so nice. Then some sweets that Radharani made was placed in front of Krishna. That is known as what Radharani made was Manohara Laddu. Man means, Har means steel, Harankarna. And Laddu, the mind that steals, the Laddu that steals the mind. And also the mind that steals the Laddu. So Krishna just took a pinch of it And he made a face as if he tasted something, the most bitter thing in the planet. And seeing that, Mother Jashoda rebuked Radharani. What did you make? And then Krishna, because Radharani, Gop Kumar, whose actual name, spiritual name was Saru, belonged to Radharani's family, he gave all the things to him. Some were small laddus and some were square preparation. And he felt that these were the most delicious things of all the preparations. And he was very surprised. And then he noticed that when Krishna made that face, that Radharani screwed her eyebrows. What's happened? And Krishna smiled. So he knew, then he could understand what was actually happening. Krishna was playfully teasing Srimati Radharani. And then after taking prasad, they all went. Balaram went to bed. Krishna roamed around on the courtyard for a while to associate with the cowherd girls. And then Mother Jashoda called him, so he went back to his bed. So, actually, Krishna just playfully went to bed. But that was only for a short while, waiting for others to go to bed. When they went to bed, what did Krishna do? Then Krishna left to meet the cowherd girls. So this is how Krishna spends his time. During the day, he spends his time with the boys, cowherd boys. And at night, he spends his time with the cowherd girls. So, this is how Krishna spent his night. And then, before others woke up, Krishna quietly came to his bed and he was lying as if he was fast asleep. Mother Jashoda came, woke him up, and anyway, so then Krishna bathed in the morning and did his morning rituals. Then he took the lunch prasad that Mother Jashoda cooked for him, and he took the cows from their resting ground and got them in front of him and set off playing his flute. And at that time all his companions came out in groups from the cowherd village and gathered around him. The boys were all fit to be his intimate friends. So they then sometimes played their flutes, sometimes they played their buffalo horns, and sometimes they made some some instruments or making sound from leaves. Like there's a way of making the leaves and make sound, musical sound from that. Did you ever do that?
Coconut leaves.
Coconut.
Leaves. All kinds of leaves you can use for that. So in this way, they made various kinds of music. And at that time, Krishna stood with Balaram, and all the cowherd boys were making music, singing, dancing around them. And so they started to walk, Balaram in the front. And the girls, the cowherd girls, unable to tolerate being separated from Krishna, found excuses to follow and came out from the village, helplessly pulled by ropes of love, as if they were dragged by the rope of love. So Mother Yashoda then saw that Krishna was perspiring from ecstasy, so she became worried. So she came and wiped the sweat from Krishna's face and went with him as far as the outer gates of the village. And then, at Krishna's request, she turned back towards the house. But after two or three steps, so Krishna said, "You go home. Why are you coming? You go back home." So she, being persuaded by Krishna, she was about to go back, but she took two or three steps. Then she turned around. She couldn't go. And anxiously went back to her. Then she went back to Krishna again. So then, she, while going, she fed Krishna with some fruits and some sweets and made him drink some beverage. And then again she turned around, took a few steps, and again came back to Krishna. She gave him a thorough looking over and adjusted his clothes and the other things he had on, and then she once more turned back. But then she again returned and plaintively gave him some instruction. She told Krishna, "My dear child, don't go too far into the impenetrable woods and never enter deep into the forest where there are thorns." And after speaking to her, she once again turned home, took a few steps, and again came back. And then she told Balaram, "My dear Ram, you stay in front of your younger brother. And you, Sridham, you stay behind, and your friend Krishna with Swarup. You, Amsu, should stay on Krishna's right, and you, Shubal, on his left." Straw between her three teeth, she implored the boys with such requests. Then she looked intently at her son. In this way, Mother Yashoda, anxiously going back and forth again and again, showed more love than a cow who has just given birth to a calf. Her son then bowed down to her, took hold of her feet, and embraced her. And with various rationales, and finally with words of insistence of his own, with great effort, he made her turn back. And she crying, milk dripping from her breasts, stood right there, motionless like a painted picture, and distantly watched from that high place near the forest. But the lovely gopis kept following him, their throats choked with weeping. They could no longer sing, nor see through their streams of tears. And their feet stumbled. In their shyness and fear, they had nothing they could do to say. drowning in a great ocean of sorrow, they have no way to hold back their feelings. Krishna has stolen the hearts and eyes of those young girls. The girls had come so far from the cowherd village, and now with some endeavor he stopped them, and as they looked at him, he repeatedly tried to send them home. He anxiously reassured them again and again through a trusted messenger and by his own gestures. He stretched his neck to glance at the girls with love, signaled with his eyebrows, and did what he could do to make the girls shy and even afraid. In this way, he forced them to stop, and they stood in front of his mother, motionless, just like her. Nanda, the king of the cowherds, naturally loved Krishna ever so much. But upon seeing his wife's loving concern, he was enslaved by overwhelming affection. Though Nanda Maharaj had gone with Krishna a great distance, and the elder cowherds with him, when Nanda saw the great burden of love all the people of Braja bore for his son, he was unable to turn back. Nanda was delighted to see many auspicious omens and see the animals and other creatures all very happy. Yet he was distraught at having to be parted from his son Krishna. Again and again he embraced Krishna and Krishna's elder brother, both separately and together. He smelled their heads and shed tears in the pain of great love for them. Then Krishna bowed down to Nanda, reminded him of the many duties Nanda had to perform, and sent him home. Turned back, Nanda stood motionless, looking at Krishna and nothing else. When Nanda's two sons had gone so deep into the forest, he could no longer see them or hear any sound. He finally turned back towards the cowherd village. So see, how much love they all had for Krishna. And Krishna felt heavy at heart from sending the gopis back. But his friends quickly pulled him forward and made him enter the beautiful Vrindavan forest. In the places around Govardhan Hill, he enjoyed tending the cows and making them drink water from Jamuna. And as evening approached, the Lord of Braja returned to his cowherd village and later played with Braja's young girls. So this is how Krishna was spending . Then Gop Kumar is telling the Brahmana, the happiness of the residents of Golok far exceeds any other. It transcends reason. So how can it give room for words? Only those who live in Golok and always perceive that happiness know its true nature, because the Lord has such friendly feelings towards them. So then he explained that these cowherd boys are actually Krishna's expansions. All these cowherd boys. And how do they feel that there are millions and millions of cowherds, the children, the young people, the elders, they all think that I alone am most dear to Krishna. So that is the feeling, and Krishna actually reciprocates also with them in that way. In that way, we can actually also consider that how dear everyone is to Krishna, every living entity, that Krishna is in their hearts. Krishna is in everyone's heart. And Krishna is, in this way, giving everyone the opportunity to have a relationship with Him, an exclusive relationship. Everyone can have an exclusive relationship with Krishna. And everyone can feel that He is most dear to Krishna. So that is Krishna's wonderful reciprocation. However, there was no one as dear to Krishna as the gopis. Yet when Krishna shows special love for one of the gopis, it then becomes apparent that she is the most dear to Him. All the gopis partake of that exalted and most perfect love, and they all constantly know the pleasure of Krishna's never-ending chain of pastimes. Yet none of the gopis even imagine that Krishna has special love for her. Each of them think, oh, when will I be fortunate enough to become even the lowliest maidservant of Krishna? One day, while playing on the shore of Jamuna, Lord Krishna, Nandanandan, heard that Kaliya had come back to this lake. Krishna rushed there alone, swiftly climbing on a nipa tree and dived into the lake, splashing water onto the shore. Krishna frolicked in the water, enjoying the sport of swimming back and forth and making all sorts of loud noises. But then he drew near the cruel Kaliya and, out of curiosity, allowed himself to be enveloped by the serpent's coil. When Krishna's companions, the cowherd boys, saw that for no good reason he has gone, so all of a sudden the cowherd boys saw that Krishna is not there. So you remember how they used to feel the separation from Krishna? Like even when they're passing and from two sides of a tree, and because of the tree they couldn't see Krishna, they used to feel such separation. Now all of a sudden Krishna is gone, and they started to look for Him. And then they came, and then they saw Krishna is in the coil of Kaliya. And seeing that, they all fainted. Not only the cowherd boys, even the village animals, the cows, the bulls, the calves, and also the animals of the forest stood on the shore, eyes fixed on Krishna's face, and their cries made a great roar of suffering. Even the birds also started to cry while they were flying. And one old man went running to the cowherd village. He wept and made dreadful cries, and he declared what actually happened to Krishna. So somebody was asking, what happens to demons? So this is how they are there also in Vrindavan. But there, they are not demoniac. They are just playing Krishna, playing the roles in Krishna's pastime. And in this way, we can also see. So, see the condition of the residents of Vrindavan at that time. So, they ran towards Jamuna. And seeing Krishna in that condition, they started to cry and then they fell down unconscious. So, even in Golok Vrindavan, it is happening. So this is pastime. What is happening there is happening here. Balaram, who was sitting in the house, that day Balaram didn't go. So he tried to console the people of Rajo. And he kept on telling, this cannot be true, this can't be true. And he also soon reached the lake. Seeing his younger brother in such a state, he couldn't keep his gravity and wept in the distress of love. As he lamented in ways that would shatter logs and stones, suddenly he fainted, just like Yashoda and Nanda. Awakened by the tumult, Balaram, the most determined of heroes, with great effort steadied himself. And a moment later, Krishna's parents also became conscious. Seeing their son in such a plight, they cried loudly and rushed to enter the lake. But powerful Balaram held them back with the strength of his arms. And Balaram said, these are not the attendants who live with you in Vaikuntha. They are not the forest monkeys. They are not the Jadavas. Okay, let me speak. Seeing everyone unconscious on the ground, as if dead, Balaram was overcome with sorrow. In a voice choked with emotion, he called out to Krishna. So Balaram called out to Krishna and told him, these are not the attendants who live with you in Vaikuntha. They are not the forest monkeys. They are not the Jadavas. These are your devotees of Golok who have no life other than you. They are dying, my Lord, and there is nothing I can do to save them. O merciful Krishna, please give up this game before these devotees die. So, Balaram is urging Krishna, please don't continue this because you are the life and soul of all these devotees. And if you continue like that, you know, they soon they are going to die. O Krishna, soul friend of the cowherd, your gentle heart will come to grief. Suddenly the Lord stopped his self-invented sport and freed himself from the grip of Kaliya's coil. He climbed up on the serpent's thousands of heads upraised, outspread, and extended his lotus arms. Taking hold of all his beloved gopis at once, so Krishna then got all the gopis also on top of Kaliya's head. Kali had thousands of heads and Krishna briskly raised them onto the hoods of the snake. Those hoods, delightfully swaying back and forth appeared like rows of jeweled platforms, creating a most creating the most impressive sight. Krishna artfully danced with the gopis on those most amazing stages, like Kaliya's head became like a stage, and Krishna was dancing on top of the on the stages, accompanied by many celestial singers and musicians. Thus, Lord Krishna, the source of all amusements, enjoyed his rasa dance pastimes. Nanda and the others on the shore, brought back to consciousness by Balaram, gazed at Krishna with delight and surprise. So you see, at one moment, they were submerged in an ocean of anxiety, so much anxiety that they were all fainting, and now they are experiencing an inconceivable joy. Having thus subdued the king of snakes, Krishna, grinning, seized the shawls of the serpent's wives. He took the shawls of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, and he joined them together and passed it through the nose of Kaliya and made it like a rein, and he was riding on Kaliya's head. In this way he was from these garments he made a long rein, and with his left hand playfully pierced and threaded Kaliya's nose. Mounting the serpent like a horse, Krishna toughly drove him forward, all the while with his right hand happily playing the flute. And sometimes Krishna was also swinging the flute as if a whip. From time to time, Krishna forcefully urged Kaliya on with the flute, as if it were a whip. Thus he showered great mercy on Kaliya by making the serpent his carrier. The Nagapatnis offered Krishna clothing, fragrance paste, flower garlands, and priceless jeweled ornaments, and Krishna placed those on serpent's hoods. Then, with the gopis, Krishna dismounted from Kaliya's head. The serpent was filled with happiness. Kaliya was filled with happiness, for he had obtained great favors and benediction, difficult for even Garuda to achieve. So, how do you like Kaliya's pastimes in Golok Vrindavan? Kaliya Daman Leela. Okay. You want to hear some more?
Yes.
Once, two great demons, Keshi and Arishta, came to Vraja. They are favorite servants of wicked Kamsa, visible manifestation of his life air. The first of those two assumed the form of a huge horse and the other a bull. They terrified the cowherds, trampling the land of Golok, Gokul. Both at once, they entered the cowherd village, their vast bodies touching the sky, their roars throwing everyone to the ground. Though Krishna's frightened loved ones tried to stop Krishna, pulling him back with all their might, Krishna reassured them. Showing the courage of a hero, he slapped his arms with his hands and went forward to confront the demons. The wrestlers do that. Just Keshi running very fast. Keshi, running very fast, appeared before Krishna first. And then Krishna, with a kick, tossed him far away. Krishna next found Arishta, the bull, pierced a hole in his nose, tied him up, and brought him before Lord Shiva, Gopeshwar. He offered Arishtasura to Lord Shiva. Then Keshi the horse returned, but powerful Krishna, whose valor never falters, jumped up and forcibly mounted him. Training him to move here and there, Krishna splendidly displayed his own prowess by taming Keshi completely. Krishna had thousands of his friends also mount the horse, and with his swift hand made the horse jump in many ways, allowing these friends to roam both the earth and the sky. Thus he took his pleasure. Having brought the horse under his control in no time, Krishna tied him up with ropes and kept him within the cowherd village for the entertainment of riding, and for pulling carts he also kept the bull. So then, one day, Akrura came. On Kamsa's order, Akrura came to take Krishna from Braja to Madhupuri or Mathura. If stones, logs and other inert objects, even from other places, hear what happened then in Braja, they cry and shatter to pieces. The night the residents of Gokul heard the news that Akrura had arrived, they all lamented profusely in various ways. They cried and fainted again and again. Yashoda, her son, her very life, was terrified of wicked Kamsa, hiding herself and hiding Krishna by keeping him covered with her cloth. She uttered special vows for his protection. When Nanda Maharaj woke up in the morning, Akrura explained things and presented numerous arguments to convince him. Nanda in turn convinced his sobbing wife and then brought Krishna outside. The gopis watched helplessly, as if Nanda were depriving them of their life air, and without shame cried out in agonized voice, "Alas, alas." When Yashoda came outside, miserable, wiping the torrents of tears from her eyes, she took her son's hand and placed it in the hand of Akrura, the son of Shafalka, as if giving Krishna to him for safekeeping. She then told Nanda, "I place in your hand this son, more dear to me than life and wealth. Don't trust anyone. Just bring him back here to my side and return him to my hand." Having made that agreement, the faithful wife of Yashoda, so pained by the weight of love for her son that she fainted again and again, returned without Krishna to her lonely home. A great lament then arose from the women of Braja. So Mother Yashoda tried to console the other residents, other ladies of Braja. And actually, Akrura convinced Nanda Maharaj why it is important that Krishna has to go to Mathura. So Nanda Maharaj in turn convinced Mother Yashoda. So that is why Yashoda agreed to let Krishna go. Because that will come up the reason why Krishna had to go to Mathura, because Kamsa has imprisoned his father, and Krishna's father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, are imprisoned, and for their sake Krishna needed to go. So simple-hearted Yashoda told the ladies of Braja all sorts of things, trying to console them. But their minds were immersed in vast ocean of pain and sorrow. And so they answered her with anger. So these ladies of Braja started to chastise Mata Yashoda. "O merciless woman, devoid of sense, just see, you have offered your own calf into the hands of a tiger. This empty house is fit to burn down. How can you enter it alone?" Reviling Yashoda and others and cursing Akrura, the ladies burst out of their homes frenzied in misery and rushed after Lord Krishna, calling out to him and crying pitifully. This crying, this extreme sorrow, this insufferable pain made everyone else cry as well. Akrura and Nanda, Balaram and the cowherds, and even beloved Krishna, who had mounted Akrura's chariot, all the residents of Braja were bewildered. After a moment, Krishna, the life and soul of the young gopis, came to his senses. He saw the gopis apparently on the verge of death. So, what did Krishna do? Krishna got down from the fine chariot to revive them. Surrounded by them and unseen by others, he went into a forest grove. So now Krishna is missing. So when Akrura came back to himself and saw that Krishna was not on the chariot, he felt remorse for having allowed this to happen. With clever words, he then tried to win the confidence of Balaram. He described how agonized were Devaki, Vasudeva and all the Jadavas only on account of Krishna. Lord Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, the divine son of Rohini and Vasudev, then went with his uncle Akrura to search for Krishna. By certain signs, he was able to locate the grove. Finding Krishna surrounded by the gopis, Balaram stood at a distance. Generally, when Krishna is with the gopis, Balaram, the elder brother, doesn't go near them because that's the custom. The men and women do not meet in front of their elders. Then Akrura told, "Evil Kamsa unceasingly harasses your old parents. Sword held high, he is ready to kill them. Surely you should not neglect them. Your devotee is so burdened by fear, by sorrow, by pain. The Jadavas have no shelter but you. All in great distress, their eyes fixed upon the path for my return. They are burning in a fire of lamentation. They all live in terror of Kamsa, and so also do the demigods, brahmanas and other exalted persons. Don't deprive them of hope." So this is how Akrura convinced Krishna. Then that person named Uncruel, Akrura, literally means Akrura. Krura means cruel and A means not or un. So the name signifies uncruel, but here he is considered to be the most cruel person. They say, what kind of name he has, Uncruel? So offered obeisances to all the women of Braja one by one. Akrura said, don't be death for the descendants of the Jadu dynasty and for all the people of the world. Please have mercy on them. Dear goddesses, Krishna's wretched parents are imprisoned by Kamsa. Please help rescue them. What was the gopi's response? You great cheat, you speaker of falsehood, you follower of Kamsa, how can those you speak of by Krishna's parents, how can you speak like that about Krishna's parents? These two boys are the sons of Nanda and Yashoda. Don't murder Gokul. Do not become a killer of women. So they do not know that Krishna is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So their consideration was, what are you saying, you liar? Krishna and Balaram are the two sons of Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. So this way, when Krishna heard the misery he himself had caused to his own relatives, and actually Akrura's point was that it was because of Krishna they all are suffering. So Krishna has to go and rescue them. And when he saw that Balaram agreed with Akrura, he apologized to the gopis, and showing anger and sadness, he left the grove. Akrura was overjoyed. With Balaram's permission, he quickly left the grove and ran to bring the chariot. Then the gopis, when they saw that Krishna is about to leave, they said, O Master, we cannot live even a moment without you. We have no other shelter. Do not abandon us, your maidservants. O Lord, take us with you wherever you go. For the sake of you, the forests have become our homes. The gopis are saying, for your sake, forest has become our home. And our home has become a forest. Our enemies became our friends. And our friends became our enemies. Poison has become sweet nectar. And nectar poison. Without you, we will die. When you go off to the Vrindavan forest with your friends, eager to enjoy your cowherd pastimes, we manage to pass our days only with difficulty by holding on to the hope that in the evening you will certainly return. But if you go so far away, on the order of wicked Kamsa, to the city and the company of his friends, how shall we be able to live? Thinking of the pain you will suffer away from home and what might happen to you, will be distraught with all sorts of worries. Then Krishna told, my enemy Kamsa is certainly weak. With no effort, I shall dispose of him. Consider my practical return. Consider me practically returned to you already, my dear friends. Please don't create misfortune by crying. So then, this is how Krishna left. So, So, so Elder Vrishni Akrura, fearing that Krishna might jump down from the chariot and go off again, supported Krishna from behind, as if of affectionately protecting him. But actually his intent was to hold Krishna so that he doesn't jump out of the chariot again. Because he, Akrura, is eager to take Krishna so that the Jadus can be free from their distressful condition. And noticing that Krishna was indeed about to faint, Akrura took permission from Balaram, Nanda and others, cracking his whip and vigorously made the chariot horses sit out. He quickly drove the chariot away, swerving to avoid the animals and the cowherd women who had fallen here and there. And all the cowherd men headed by Nanda mounted their own carts, yoked to large bulls, and quickly followed Akrura. So Krishna then went to Mathura. Like their feeling is, there Krishna killed Kamsa, released Ugrasen and his father and mother, coronated Ugrasen on the throne. And then he sent back Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd boy. Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, "Father, first you should quickly go home with the cowherds before any Gokul's residents die in our absence. I will soon arrange for the happiness of these well-wishers of yours in Mathura, whose hearts are so distressed. Then I'll come back to Braja." So Nanda Maharaj told that, "Look, before I left Braja, I promised to the Brajavasis that I would never believe that you are someone else's son, nor ever believe that you could abandon such friends as them and live elsewhere. Therefore, please save us. Don't ever, for any reason, send us away from you. Wherever you might go by your sweet will, oh, there may we also go with you. The Brajavasis and your mother still live and breathe only because I gave them hope. If I were to return so hard-hearted as to go back without you, surely they would die on the spot." So, then Vasudev consoled Nanda Maharaj that, "My dear brother, surely your son and his elder brother can be happy in all respects only by living there in Braja. They will suffer nothing but distress anywhere else. But now is the time for them to be initiated. They should go to Brahmacharis to another place to study, and afterwards they can return to Braja." When Nanda saw that Krishna disagreed with his words and agreed with those of Vasudev, Nanda departed crying in distress. So this the Brajavasis, not seeing their Lord, were beside themselves with distress, confused about what to do, and sick with foreboding and apprehension. And while Sarup, Gop Kumar was describing that, he actually became very, very affected, and as if he was submerged in an ocean of sorrow and started to cry. And then that Brahmana carefully brought Sarup somewhat back to normal. And Sarup, fearful of becoming confused again, spoke no further details on that topic. But when kind-hearted Sarup saw that the Mathura Brahman was eager to hear the rest of the story, he controlled his mind and continued to speak. Impelled by compassion for the residents of Braja, Krishna, the crest jewel of artful heroes, quickly gave them back their lives. He enjoyed with them until they forgot their misery and what had caused it. And to them, this happening was like a dream. So this is the point, like the question arises that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami pointed out from the scripture that Vrindavanam parityajya kutra kadapi na gacchati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So then where is that, why they have this feeling of separation? So, like when these kind of things happen, like this is by Krishna's sweet will, these pastimes take place. And through these pastimes, the Brajavasis experience feeling of separation or joy. And it's all due to Krishna's divine arrangement to share the loving exchange with them. So again and again these pastimes happen. So here, that's the thing, again, like the difference between material nature and spiritual nature. In the material nature, we have our separate consciousness. We are our independent consciousness. Whereas in the spiritual sky, everyone's consciousness is just tuned into Krishna. So whatever Krishna does, that means whatever pastimes Krishna enacts, they just become absorbed in that. They don't really have any separate way of thinking. So it says that Krishna is there, like as we say, what did Krishna do with Kaliya? What did Krishna do with Keshi and Arishtasura? Similarly, Krishna is leaving from Vrindavan, going to Mathura. It's just his pastime. And to Brajavasis, it is real. And each time Krishna plays, and they don't have any recollection that, the other day Krishna played the same pastimes. No. As if it is happening again, just new. Nitya nava navayamar. It's just a new thing happening. Ever happening for the first time. Again Krishna went to Madhupuri, again killed Kamsa, and again returned to Braja, where he continued as before to enjoy his pastimes. Thus Krishna again and again goes to Kamsa's city, as he did many times before, and again returned to sport in Braja. Krishna subdues Kaliya time and time again. In the same way, and time again, lives Govardhan Hill. And again and yet again, he performs his many other wonderful pastimes. Thus the Lord enchants the hearts of his devotees. But the residents of Vraja, completely bewildered by the Kalkut poison of this supreme love for Sri Krishna, never think that any of these events had ever occurred before. The pastimes of the Lord are ever existing and purely spiritual, formed by eternity, knowledge and bliss. Of their own accord, those pastimes attracted to the Lord's lotus feet to engage in service, follow him everywhere, supplying the entourage and paraphernalia for each occasion. So this is how we get to know how Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan, and how the residents of Vrindavan feel about him, what kind of love they have for him. And that is the ultimate spiritual relationship. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So as I said, this was just to give a little taste. But Brihad Bhagavatamrita is an ocean of transcendental meaning. I simply tried to give you a little taste of it. How was the taste? Okay. So keep drinking it. And I can assure you, you'll never become satisfied. Because the more you drink, the more you want to drink. Hare Krishna. So I'm happy that somehow I have been able to cover the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Today I was in a real bad shape. I had a terrible headache from this rocking of the boat. I couldn't sleep last night. In one hand, I had a very special room with a nice balcony. And the problem is that in an occasion like that, that room shakes the most. And not only that, it has so many fixtures, like fancy fixtures, that they rattle. And it creates a terrible noise. And it did this whole night last night. And I didn't know what to do, so I just kept lying in bed. And anyway, hope at some point this journey is going to come to an end. And after this trip, I'm sure all will feel, oh, how wonderful the land is. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande. So any last questions?
From the previous class, you were saying that there was they were feeling cheated, like they were there's suffering and there's bliss simultaneously. He didn't know whether he was in such suffering or whether he was in such bliss. And what is that? Is that like this?
That in separation, they feel such agony. It seems like, it is suffering, But that is a different kind of suffering. Like that separation is not permanent. So, after the separation, when they meet, then they get plunged into an ocean of joy. But then again, the separation comes. So this is how they alternate. And that alternating, these two extreme situations, causes to enjoy in a unique way.
So is it very different to our material suffering?
Yeah. Yes. It is. It is a kind of, you see, through this separation, love becomes more intensified. And the joy is experienced through love. Right? Whereas in the material nature, we hardly get to experience joy out of love. In the material nature, they are trying to experience joy out of sense gratification. Whereas this is unconditional love for Krishna. Okay. Any other question? Sweet.